今天我们要聊的呢是罗斯柴尔德家族。
Today, we are going to talk about the Rothschild family.
是如何通过他们的五支箭另类资产管理平台
How their five asset management platforms
来控制全球的核心基础设施
To control the core infrastructure of the world.
以及背后那些让人瞠目结舌的资本和权力的运作。
And the behind-the-scenes capital and power operations that are shocking.
没错。
Right?
这个话题确实很值得关注。
This topic is indeed worth paying attention to.
那我们就开始吧。
And let's start.
我们先要说的就是，这个五支箭背后真正的权力结构到底是什么样子？
What we want to say is what is the real power structure behind these five ships?
很多人都好奇啊。
Many people are curious.
说这个家族它是怎么从一个传统的银行家族一步一步的变成现在这种几乎无处不在的超级力量。
Tell the story of how this family transformed from a traditional banking family into the near ubiquitous superpower it is today.
其实现在大家看到的罗斯柴尔德已经远远不是一个老派的银行家族了。
In fact, the Rothschilds are no longer a traditional banking family today.
它已经进化成了一个我们几乎难以想象的超级权力机器。
It has evolved into a super powerful machine that we can hardly imagine.
然后它的这个核心就是五支箭。
Then its core is five ships.
五支箭其实是一个另类资产管理平台。
Five ships is an alternative asset management platform.
但是它的背后是非常非常复杂的。
However, there is a very complex background behind it.
有资本的垄断，数据的霸权
，capital-based monopoly data dominance，
然后还有政商旋转门以及国家机器的私有化等等。
And there are also things like political-industrial revolving doors and the privatization of the state apparatus, etc.
这些东西盘根错节的交织在一起。
These things are intertwined and tangled together.
形成了一张巨大的权力网。
Formed a huge power.
确实很复杂啊。
The dark web is really complicated.
那这个五支箭这个名字到底是怎么来的？
So, where did the name five ships come from?
它背后有什么象征？
What does it symbolize?
这个名字其实是来自于罗斯柴尔德家族创始人梅耶罗斯。
This name actually comes from Mayer Rothschild, the founder of the Rothschild family.
柴尔德，他有五个儿子。
Child had five sons.
然后他把他的五个儿子分别派到了欧洲的五个金融中心。
Then he sent his five sons to the five financial centers in Europe.
伦敦、巴黎、维也纳、那不勒斯和法兰克福。
London, Paris, Vienna, Naples, and Frankfurt.
然后让他们在那里扎根，建立家族的银行。
And let them establish banks and build families there.
所以这五支箭其实代表的就是这五个分支。
So, these five ships actually represent these five branches.
然后也象征着家族的团结和扩张。
It also symbolizes the family's unity and expansion. Okay.
所以现在五支箭这个平台
So now five teams are building this platform.
它主要是做哪些领域的投资
What are the main areas of investment?
它管理的资产规模有多大
What is the size of the assets it manages?
现在的五支箭它已经变成了罗斯柴尔德集团旗下核心的一个另类资产管理平台。
Currently, the Five Arrow has become a core alternative asset management platform under the Rothschild Group.
然后它总共管理的资产大概是330亿欧元左右。
Then, the total assets it manages is approximately 33 billion euros.
也就是差不多2500亿人民币。
That's about 2.5 trillion yuan.
它的业务主要覆盖了企业私募股权、多策略基金、直接贷款和信用管理这四大领域。
Its business mainly covers four areas: direct lending and credit management of private equity multi-strategy funds.
330亿欧元听着好像也不少了。
330 billion euros doesn't sound like a lot at all.
但是跟那些动辄上万亿美元的私募基金巨头比起来好像也不算多啊。
But compared to those private equity giants that have billions of dollars, it doesn't seem like much.
是的。
Yes.
但是五支箭的厉害的地方就在于它并不追求这种表面上的规模。
However, the strength of the five arrows lies in its lack of pursuit of such superficial scale.
它的厉害的地方就在于它投向的都是现代社会运行所必须的底层的基础设施。
His strength lies in the fact that the images he creates are all the basic infrastructure necessary for the functioning of modern society.
比如说医院的信息系统。
For example, the information system of a hospital.
政府的应急指挥网。
Government's emergency command.
网络，学校的资金管理平台。
Online schools funding management platform.
甚至金融机构的清算管道。
Even financial institutions clearing pipelines.
这些东西它都有涉足。
It has involved in all of these.
所以它其实控制的是我们日常生活赖以维系的这些关键的系统。
听起来真的很厉害啊。
So, he actually controls the key systems that support our daily lives. That sounds really impressive.
那这个罗斯柴尔德集团为什么会在2023年的时候突然决定要退市？
Why did the Rothschild Group suddenly decide to go public in 2023?
要从一个公众公司变成一个私有公司呢？
How to turn a publicly traded company into a privately held company?
因为他之前不是一直在泛欧交易所吗？
Because he was previously always trading on the European exchange.
就是巴黎的那个证交所上市。
That's the Paris stock exchange.
但是上市其实跟他们家族一直以来所坚持的保守。
However, going public is actually contrary to what their family has always insisted on, which is conservatism.
长期隐秘的这样的一个风格是有冲突的。
This kind of long-term, secretive style is contradictory.
因为上市之后
Because after being listed,
你就要面对短期的盈利的压力。
You will have to face the pressure of short-term profits.
你要不断地公开你的信息。
You need to constantly disclose your information.
然后你要受到监管机构的各种监督。
Then you will be subject to supervision by various regulatory agencies.
那这些东西其实都在妨碍他们自由地去调配资本。
These things actually hinder their freedom to allocate capital.
去做一些长期的布局。
To make some long-term plans.
原来如此。
That's right.
那他们具体是怎么操作的？
So how exactly do they do it?
这个私有化的过程。
在2023年的2月份。
This privatization process took place in February 2023.
他们这个家族控股的一个实体 Concordia SAS 他就发起了一个全面邀约收购。
Their family-owned entity Concordia SAS initiated a comprehensive takeover bid.
然后他当时的报价是每股48欧元。
Then his offer was 48 euros per share.
还包含了股息。
It also includes dividends.
就是他想要把所有的在外流通的股份全部都买进来。
He wants to buy up all the shares that are currently circulating on the market.
从而实现退市。
This will enable delisting.
那它这个其实就是一个非常经典的资本权力的一个大撤退。
This is actually a very classic and large-scale withdrawal of capital and power.
明白了。
Understood.
那罗斯柴尔德家族
The Nashfield family.
他们在退市之前到底是怎么做到用最少的钱掌握最多的投票权的？
How did they manage to acquire the most voting rights with the least amount of money before the delisting?
其实他们在发起这个邀约之前
Actually, before they initiated this invitation,
Concordia
Courier
他只持有整个集团 38.8% 的股份。
He only holds 38.8% of the shares in the entire group.
但是他通过法国的法律里面允许的这种特殊的合伙人制度。
However, he used the special partnership system allowed by French law.
再加上他的双重投票权。
In addition to his double voting right.
他就把他的投票权提升到了 47.5%。
He increased his voting rate to 47.5%.
就是他用相对比较少的钱
That's what he did using relatively less money.
牢牢地把这个公司的控制权握在手里
To firmly hold the control of this company.
这就是欧洲的这些老牌家族玩得非常精的一个东西
This is a very sophisticated thing that these old European families are playing.
那他们为了要拿下剩下的那些股份
Then they wanted to take over the remaining shares.
他们又做了什么呢
What are they doing again?
他们就拉了一票欧洲最最老牌的家族
They also pulled in some of Europe's most prestigious and oldest families.
一起结成了一个非常紧密的联盟
Formed a very close alliance.
比如说有 Maurer 家族
For example, there is the Moruro family.
这个家族其实是法国非常非常老的金融的世家。
This family is actually a very, very old and prestigious financial family in France.
他们不光是有银行。
They are not just banks.
他们还深度地涉足军工和重资产行业。
They have also made deep inroads into the military and heavy industry sectors.
然后他们是通过 Rothschild Martin Moreau 这个平台跟罗斯柴尔德牢牢地绑在一起。
Then they were firmly bound to Rothschild through the Rothschild Martin Moreau platform.
哇
Lal
听起来就是金融和军工的强强联合啊。
It sounds like a strong alliance between finance and the military industry.
没错。
Right?
没错。
Right?
还有 Dassault 家族，就是那个造阵风战斗机的那个军工巨头。
And then there's the Dassault family, which is the military industrial giant that manufactures the F-35 fighter jet.
然后还有 Peugeot 家族。
Then there's the Prose family.
是汽车工业里面非常非常老的钱，在。
It's a very old and classic car.
加上罗斯柴尔德自己集团的高管和合伙人。
In addition to the Rothschild family members and executives.
大家都把自己的利益绑到了一起。
Everyone is tying their interests together.
所以这个一致行动人集团很快就拿到了 55.2% 的股份。
Therefore, this group of coordinated shareholders quickly obtained 55.2% of the shares.
66.8% 的投票权就已经绝对控股了。
66.8% of the voting rights have already achieved absolute control.
既然已经绝对控股了。
Since we have absolute control,
那他们是怎么把剩下的那些少数股东的股份也都买过来的
？So how did they acquire the remaining shares of the minority shareholders?
他们就是继续在公开市场上面去买。
They continue to buy on the open market.
然后等他们买到超过90%的股份的时候
And once they have acquired more than 90% of the shares,
他们就启动了法国的资本市场法里面的一个挤出效应。
They then initiated a mechanism under the French capital market law.
就是他可以强制的要求
He can force it.
剩下的那些小股东必须要把股票卖给他。
The remaining minority shareholders must sell their shares to him.
这是法律允许的。
This is legal.
对。
Okay.
那美国的那些小股东怎么办
？What about the American shareholders?
美国不是有自己的证券监管吗
？Ben isn't. They're a self-regulatory organization for securities.
对。
Okay.
美国那边不是大概有8.94%的股份吗？
Isn't there about 8.94% of shares owned by the Americans?
然后他们就专门向美国的 SEC。
Then they specifically turned to the US SEC.
就是美国证券交易委员会申请了豁免。
The SEC has applied for an exemption.
然后他们就获批了。
Then they were approved.
获批之后。
After being approved,
他们就可以用法国的这套比较宽松的规则来进行邀约收购。
They can use France's relatively relaxed rules to conduct hostile takeovers.
所以那些美国的小股东
So, those American shareholders,
他们就没有办法受到美国法律的保护了。
They are no longer able to receive protection under US law.
只能被迫接受被挤出
can only be forced to accept being squeezed out.
好吧
Okay.
那这个罗斯柴尔德集团在完成了私有化之后
After the Rothschild Group completed the privatization,
他们内部的权利是怎么分配的
How are their rights allocated internally?
是不是更加集中了
Is it more concentrated?
没错没错
Absolutely, absolutely.
私有化之后
After privatization,
这个集团的权力就变得更加集中了。
This group's power has become more concentrated.
就是顶层的战略方向。
This is the top level strategic direction.
全部都是牢牢地握在家族的手里。
All of them were firmly held in the hands of the family.
比如说第七代继承人亚历山大德
For example, the seventh generation heir Alexander de
罗斯
Rose
柴尔德
Child
他就亲自担任执行主席
He personally served as the executive chairman
然后他主要就是负责整个集团的合规和地缘战略
Then he was mainly responsible for the group's compliance and geostrategic affairs.
他要确保所有的大的决策都是符合家族的长期利益的。
He makes sure that all major decisions are in the best interests of the family.
听起来家族还是把核心的控制权抓得很紧啊。
It seems that the family still has a tight grip on the core control.
那具体的资产运作呢
？What is the specific operation of the assets？
是谁在负责？
具体的像五支箭这种资产的实际操作
？Who is in charge of the actual operation of specific assets, such as the five arrows？
他们就会交给非常资深的华尔街背景的职业代理人来执行。
They will then be handed over to very experienced.Professional brokers with a background in Wall Street.
比如说五支箭的首席执行官 Jeff Kahn.
For example, the CEO of the Five Ships, Jeff Kahn.
他就是沃顿和哈佛双料背景。
He is a double background of Wharton and Harvard.
然后他之前在黑石集团和地捷投资银行都做过很长时间。
Then he had worked for Black Market Group and the Covenant Investment Bank for a long time.
是一个非常非常厉害的人。
That's a really, really amazing person.
那这个 Jeff Kahn 他的加入给五支箭的投资策略带来了哪些新的变化？
So, what new changes did Jeff Combs joining bring to the investment strategy of the five ships?
他带来的变化非常大。
The changes he brought were very significant.
他加入之后，就给五支箭带来了全新的投资理念。
After joining, he brought a new investment philosophy to the five ships.
就是他会避开那些价格波动非常大的领域。
He avoids areas with very volatile prices.
然后他会专门去找那种 B2B 的垄断性的资产。
Then he will specifically look for those B2B monopolistic assets.
比如说医院的信息系统。
For example, the information system of a hospital.
政府的应急系统。
Government's emergency system.
金融机构的清算系统
Clearing systems for financial institutions
这些东西都是企业和政府没有办法离开的
These are things that companies and governments cannot escape from
而且客户一旦用上了
And once customers start using it
很难再换
It's really hard to change
所以它的现金流非常的稳定
Therefore, his cash flow is very stable.
然后他又有很强的溢价能力。
And he has strong appreciation ability.
几乎不受经济周期的影响。
Almost unaffected by economic cycles.
这种资产简直就是一台台印钞机啊。
This asset is simply a printing machine.
确实，就是这种底层的系统。
Indeed, it's this underlying system.
它是可以持续的带来收益的。
It can bring continuous income.
然后家族呢，就站在幕后，牢牢地抓住合规和战略的方向。
Then the family firmly grasped the direction of compliance and strategy from behind the scenes.
然后把具体的赚钱的任务交给这些华尔街的精英们去做。
Then assigned the specific money-making tasks to these Wall Street elites to do.
这样的话
So,
家族就可以在享受最大的利益的同时
Families can enjoy the greatest benefits at the same time.
还可以避免自己沾手那些具体的运营的麻烦事儿
This can also help avoid getting involved in the specific operational problems.
这回完了。
This is the end.
那他们在私有化了之后
After they were privatized,
这些钱都流向了哪些领域
Where did these funds go?
他们投资的风格有什么大的变化吗
Have they made any major changes to their investment style?
他们在私有化了之后啊
After they privatized it,
因为没有了公众股东的监督
Because there is no supervision from public shareholders,
他们就可以更加大胆地去部署这330亿欧元的另类资产
They can then be more daring to deploy these 33 billion euros in alternative assets.
然后他们会把大量的资金投入到国家机器和公共服务相关的这些非常敏感的底层资产当中。
And they will invest a large amount of funds in these very sensitive underlying assets related to the state apparatus and public services.
比如说关键的基础设施。这种操作在他们还是上市公司的时候
For example, key infrastructure projects undertaken when they were publicly traded
是根本不敢这么明目张胆地去做的。
It's simply not something that can be done so blatantly.
明白了。
Understood.
那我们今天其实就揭开了五支箭这个另类资产管理平台的神秘面纱。
So, today we actually unveiled the mystery of this alternative asset management platform, Five Swords.
然后也看到了罗斯柴尔德家族是如何通过私有化和欧洲最古老的资本家族们紧紧地捆绑在一起。
Then I also saw how the Rothschild family was privatizing and how they were closely tied to the oldest capital families in Europe.
并且把核心的基础设施都装进了自己的口袋。
And put all the core infrastructure into their pockets.
对。
Okay,